You are listening to the podcasts of Cedar Hills Community Church in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Happy Easter to you from me. I'm Pastor Kent. I'm one of the pastors here and delighted to be able to share this service with you. I'm, of course, saddened that you can't be here with us, and you're really missing out on the music. I get pumped up to be able to be here and hear the music live, but I was also thinking it'd be nice to be like a fly in the wall of your homes to try to figure out or to observe what you're doing as you're singing or dancing or jumping on your mini tramps or whatever it is you're doing to engage. I wanted to just focus on one verse from the verses that Lois read to us earlier. And we've been thinking about the words of Jesus, and I want to focus on just the words that Jesus spoke that first Easter. And so it's in Matthew chapter 28, and if you want to look at verse 9, here's what Jesus said to us. Greetings, do not be afraid, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, there they will see me. This is God's word, and it's true, and we can rely on it. I thought it would be helpful for us to maybe start with talking a little bit about comfort. What gives you comfort? Now, this is going to be the group participation part of the message, and we're going to ask you to reply to that question, what it is that gives you comfort. People of all ages take steps to find calm or comfort or soothing. It might be a stuffed animal or a special blanket. It might be a walk or playing an instrument or singing a song. It might be a calming message, maybe a poem or a quote or a Bible verse. I want you to share it, if you're willing, right now on your chat, and we're going to be looking at those. And I've been trained now so I can actually find the stuff that you reply to. But while you're doing this, I'm going to share what I found out about my kids and their efforts to self-soothe. So my oldest daughter, Kelsey, had a stuffed seal. And it was this little white seal that she got when she was a baby. And that seal went with her everywhere. Every time she went to camp, on a trip, to sleep over, she took the seal with her. She even took it to college. And she continued to sleep with it all the way through college. I did verify that she is not currently sleeping with the seal. She's actually sleeping with a real cat now to give her comfort. My youngest, Shayna, had this habit of like pinching her neck. So you could walk in there while she's sleeping and you'd see her rubbing her neck, or if she was ever stressed out, she would be calming herself this way. And she told me that she still does that to this day. Unless she's in a public setting, then she pinches her hand. But she also sent me a little video of her doing some self-soothing at the keyboard, playing a worship song and singing. That's one of her things. My son had a pacifier, but he did not use the pacifier the way normal people use a pacifier. He kept the pacifier between his fingers and rubbed it. So he would rub that pacifier until it became so soft. It was the most interesting thing, until it became so worn out that he ripped the rubber part off of the pacifier, and that was a sad day for him in his attempt to find comfort. He does not still use a pacifier today. Okay, so now you guys have been sending me things that you do to find comfort, and I'm going to share some of the coffee, my dog, blankie, oh, at Easton's bear, I thought it said beer. Maybe for some people, that's comforting. Prayer, the beauty of the earth, worship music. So it sounds like a lot of us are used to looking at different things that give us comfort. And I thought this would be helpful, first of all, because we're in a day when we are seeking comfort, and some of the normal paths to comfort might be not available now. Like if you got comfort from shopping therapy, like spending a day lingering through the store, that's probably not available. Hanging out with your friends, going out to dinner, things like that were maybe things that you use to comfort yourself that aren't available. So I thought it might be helpful to talk about this. But also, as I was reading through the story of the resurrection and the crucifixion, it seemed to me that there were a bunch of people in this story who were seeking comfort, trying all different kinds of things to try to find their comfort. They're running all over the place, scared, and hoping to be able to react to their situation in a way that can comfort them. So here's some of the examples that I noticed. Those who came to arrest Jesus appear to have a lot of fear. They may be afraid of Jesus. They may be afraid of the other leaders in their group. They come bearing clubs and swords. They're addressing their fear by this weaponry and maybe joining a mob. Maybe that comforted them. In response to the arrest, the disciples run away in fear. They find comfort under the cover of darkness. They go into hiding. That's how they comfort themselves. Peter sneaks back to watch the trial, but then in fear denies knowing Jesus, and so he finds comfort in lying about his identity, keeping his identity secret. Everyone who's in leadership in this particular story seems to show some fear in their inability to take responsibility for their. They shuffle Jesus from one place to another, seeking comfort in deniability or blame shifting, blame sharing. Even Pilate's wife is noted as being afraid in this story. She turns to her husband and says, "Don't have anything to do with this, Jesus. I'm afraid what this could mean. You should avoid him." Comfort by avoidance. The soldiers who were carrying out the crucifixion must have also had some fear. They know that this is a grisly business that they're into, but they've also noticed that Jesus is not their usual rebel, their usual criminal. He's a very different thing, and I wonder if they found comfort in their bravado or in their mockery of Jesus or in their brutality. There's just a lot of people who are in need of comfort and seeking different paths. At the moment of the death of Jesus, there's a description given, and this is the description at the moment of Jesus' death in the Gospel of Matthew. It says this: "At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who have died were raised to life. They came out of the tomb and went into the holy city and appeared to many people." Here's the situation. The sky grows dark. The earth trembles with an earthquake. The dead are walking around. Does this sound like a scary scenario? I wonder if people in that day were looking for comfort in this dark hour. And I'm guessing that a stuffed animal or a pacifier probably wouldn't cut it on a day like that. Even after Jesus is safely dead and buried, the chief priests know that you can't be too careful. They're still afraid. They insist upon putting a guard at the tomb. This is to calm their anxious hearts. And fear is still there on that first Easter morning, still strong. We're told that when the angel appeared and the tomb burst open, the guards shook for fear and became like dead men. Whatever comfort measures they might have used that didn't work in that moment. And the first words out of the angel who greets the woman is, "Do not be afraid." So it seems like everyone in the story is in need of comfort, except one. The guy who was crucified, dead, and buried never seems to be afraid, even in the midst of this terrible suffering. And now, the one who has been crucified, dead, and buried is raised to life, and the women see him. Now, something struck me this week very strongly about the first words out of the mouth of Jesus on that resurrection Sunday. And maybe this is because we've spent so much time over the last few weeks thinking about the words of Jesus, and we've been zeroing in on the red letters in Matthew, looking at what Jesus had to say and paying special attention to it. And so his first words struck me. Jesus is raised from the dead. He greets the women, and the first thing he says to them is, "Hello." The first word Jesus speaks after the resurrection is an everyday word of calm, of comfort, greetings. The women have just witnessed the crucifixion. They've been grieving for 3 days. They've arrived early at the tomb to finish the burial process. They've seen the tomb empty. They've heard from an angel. And now here is Jesus standing before them alive, and Jesus says, "Hi." It just struck me as interesting. I was expecting more. Something different. There were a lot of things he could have said, like, "Surprise!" This greeting is one of the more common words that you could use to greet somebody in that day. And it's a word that has some connotations, kind of like aloha or shalom. It could be used as a hello or a goodbye, or give you peace. And the root of this greeting is joy and rejoicing. So Jesus is greeting them with this common word that says, "Well, hello, I'm glad to see you. Peace be with you." Find joy, find rejoicing. It's a common, confident, comforting, reassuring word. hello, everything's going to be fine. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I think Mary and I have noticed and commented on the increase in friendly greetings that we receive when we're out for a walk. So we walk our dog now a couple times a day just to get out. And we used to be able to take these walks and nobody would ever say anything to us. We'd walk past people and they'd continue with whatever they're doing. Now I notice that when we walk, they will pop out of their garage. They'll drop everything and step out onto their driveway and say, hello, how you doing? People will yell at us out of their car windows. Hey, they'll wave. People are making an extra effort to be kind, to say hello. And I find that comforting. It is kind of a we're in this together greeting, even if just for a moment. I wonder if Jesus' hello was that kind of a comforting greeting to the women. It's going to be okay. We're in this together. Of course, I think it has a lot more connotations than that because of the reaction that the women make. If you continue to read what happened next, it says that the woman then, they bowed down before him. They fell at his feet and worshiped him. So this greeting had a huge impact on them. Of course, they're seeing Jesus raised from the dead. You worship when you see Jesus in that state. And this brings us to the second word out of Jesus' mouth after the resurrection, and it's, do not be afraid. Hello? Do not be afraid. Now, the encouragement to not be afraid comes up a lot in the Bible, which makes me think it's a word we need to hear, and maybe especially in times like this. The women heard it first from the angel who was there at the tomb just moments earlier. Don't be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has been raised, and he, just as he said, come now, see the place where he lay. The story of Jesus actually starts with this same word from an angel. Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Don't be afraid, Joseph. Take Mary as your wife. Her baby is conceived by the Holy Spirit. Name him Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. Don't be afraid, shepherds. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Now this baby who was to be a Savior has been crucified, dead, and buried. And now he's been raised to life again. And he comes, and his second word to these women is, don't be afraid. Fear not. Another kind of interesting statement, because fear might be the most appropriate response in a time like this. Fear comes when we face the unexpected. And we've had a lot of that, haven't we? It seems like people still need the encouragement today. Do not be afraid. In addition to our efforts at self-soothing and calming, there seems like there's an entire, you know, industry that's out there trying to sell us security. And a lot of marketing that is based on addressing our fears. Everything from tires to investments to home alarm systems are sold with little 30-second stories about fear. Tire commercials are always, you know, dark and stormy. It's a dark and stormy night, driving through the rain. Do you have the right tread on your tires? Do you have enough tread? Are you going to be safe? Investment commercials predict uncertain times. But we can help you. We can make a plan that will keep you safe and secure. Calm down. And of course, the home security cameras always catch the criminal in the act, and the criminal runs away, so you're safe. Everyone promises to keep us safe. And are we? It's interesting that in the story of the crucifixion, all the attempts at self-soothing fail. It doesn't work for Peter to follow from a safe distance, to deny Christ. Does that work for him? No, we're told the consequence of that is he goes off and he weeps bitterly. He's heartbroken. It doesn't work for Pilate to wash his hands. I'm going to have nothing to do with you. So Pilate's innocent. It doesn't work for the chief priests to secure Jesus in a tomb, put guards there to keep it safe. How'd that work? All these attempts fail at giving them the comfort that they desire. All this dabbling in calming and security runs up against resurrection and an empty tomb. Self-soothing, I'm guessing, doesn't work really well if you're in the middle of an earthquake and the whole world is shaking. We need something more, or we will be afraid. Which brings us to the third word of Jesus that first Easter Sunday. He says, hello, do not be afraid. Now go tell my brothers. Tell them to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Jesus tells the women to go and tell the other disciples, go tell them what you've seen. Go tell them I'm risen from the dead. Go boldly and declare. Go believe. It seems to me what Jesus is really telling these women is, believe, I am risen. You've seen it with your own eyes. Now declare it to everyone you can. And something interesting does happen to the disciples after the resurrection. They seem to experience surprising boldness and freedom of speech after the resurrection. The same group that was afraid before is confident. They changed. They're calm. They're even courageous. It's as if their security is coming from a different place. Their security is coming not from themselves, but it's coming from the inside out. These same disciples are now not afraid of those who will scoff at them, who will mock them and make fun of their claims about the resurrection. They're not afraid of the authorities who come and tell them now, stop it. Stop spreading this story. Stop talking about Jesus. They're not afraid of the future. They're not afraid of what's coming. They're not afraid of their sin. They're not afraid of death. They have seen Jesus alive. They believed in the resurrection, and it's changed everything. They still are facing hardships. They're still facing uncertainty, suffering, sickness. They start to face persecution, even martyrdom for their faith. They're facing these things. But now, they're facing it with a different power. Not self-power, resurrection power. They're resurrection people. And so they live different. Resurrection people live with this power that overcomes sin, it overcomes death, it overcomes sickness. Resurrection power that ensures that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Resurrection power that replaces cowardice and fear with courage and confidence. Resurrection power that reshapes how we live our lives so that we are people who can break the chains of slavery, break free from addictions. Power to set us into loving our neighbors. Power that unleashes hospitality and forgiveness and reconciliation. Power that gives us hope. Power that gives us comfort no matter what happens. We're Easter people, resurrection people. We believe that the only comfort in life and in death is that we are not our own, but we belong in life and death to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. We believe this because of the resurrection. We belong to our risen Savior. We're Easter people. So, do not be afraid, but go believe. We may find other things that temporarily give us comfort and calm, but there's only one thing that gives comfort and calm no matter what happens, and that's resurrection. I think most of you know I love the music of Easter and glad that we've got to sing so many in that medley, and there's a few more special treats coming about that. But There is a song that helps bring me comfort, and it's a song that goes like this. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Lord God, I give you thanks for this day, for this opportunity for us to gather together as your Easter people, your resurrection people, to celebrate your love, to celebrate the gift of salvation from your Son, and to experience the power of your Holy Spirit at work within us. And we give you thanks and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray you were blessed by today's message from Cedar Hills Community Church. For more information about our church or how to support our ministry, visit www.cedarhillscr.org.